watch your team yesterday, and I assume now you've had a chance to see the film. How did you think the team played overall on Sunday?
It just wasn't quite good enough for many of us. So, close game, overtime. A lot of key plays could have swung it one way or the other, and we just didn't get enough of them. So we all got to do a better job.
You know, Bill, the play that everybody wants to know about is the play in overtime, key play for the Jets. Looked like they missed a field goal. You were going to take over with great field position, unsportsmanlike penalty. What was your view of it? I know you saw it initially, and I'm sure you've watched the game several times now. What was your view of the? What is your interpretation of the call, and did they get it right?
Yeah, well, I mean, I don't really have any comment on it. I mean, if we talked about it, there's really not much more to say. We talked to the NFL league and let them explain it and all that. So, bottom line is it went against us, and then they kicked another field goal and won. So,
I remember a play. I think it was in 2002 against Miami. Where you guys, it wasn't a competitive game, but you guys got called for, I think it was Brewski, of all people, got called for launching off of a player from the second level. They called an unsportsmanlike penalty on that. It led to a score, I think, for the Dolphins. But that was different. Let's put it this way. Do you see the benefit of the rule in the first place? Supposedly it's for safety reasons. Do you see how that rule is beneficial or it adds a layer of safety for players?
Yeah, that's not really my job. You'd have to talk to the competition committee and the league about all that. They're the ones that are experts on that.
The move that was tried there with Chris Jones, is that something that you guys had tried on previous field goals? Is that something you've done before, or is that the first time that you guys had tried it?
Previously, when the rule was a little bit different, it was very common to see guys get pushed from the second level. This year, I've seen it quite a bit on film, and yeah, we've done it too. Yeah, but I mean, there are a lot of examples of it this year.
Is that a situation where you might expect a referee or one of the officials to say something along the way? Hey, I saw you do that, and if it happens again, I'm going to call a penalty, as opposed to calling it in a key spot without any warning, or maybe there is a warning given. I don't know. I'm asking the question.
Yeah, there's no warning given. I mean, you can talk to them about why they call what they call, when they call it. I can't answer that.
Chris Jones stepped up at the end of the game and says he takes full responsibility.
Yeah, no, that's not right. No, it's Chris didn't do anything wrong. He did what he did what he should have done.
And I heard you say that again earlier. My question is more, how impressive of it is it of him to step forward and say I did it even though he didn't? What does that say about him and his character?
Quite a bit. Yeah, quite a bit. I mean, Chris is a stand up guy and he's a hardworking kid. I think he's earned a lot of respect in the time he's been here, and he has nothing to apologize for.
It seems like I've asked you maybe 3 or 4 weeks in a row about Rob Gronkowski, and he was inactive. Well, finally, he did play his first game of the season. What did you see from Gronk, pluses and minuses?
Yeah, well, I thought Rob, competed well. He certainly gave us some plays. First game he's played in a long time. Sure that he'll get better as he gets more playing time, more practice time, more opportunity to play.
What was the thought going in terms of his availability for snaps? Was the idea that he was going to play half of the game, or were you going to play it by ear, just see what the game presented, and then go with it?
Yeah, well, he was involved in certain personnel groups, and so he was on the field for those, and then also we were in communication with him during the game as to how he was doing, and his stamina, and his overall physical condition. So it's a combination of those two things.
Did he seem tentative at all times to you, or did you think he was able to play aggressively as he needed to?
Yeah, well, I mean, I think Rob went out there and played hard. I think he gave us everything he had. I just think that he hasn't played in a long time, and that as he plays more and gets more in game condition through practices and games, that like any player that'll improve, but there's no way to get in game condition without playing games, and he did that. So that's one step, and I think there are many more to take before he gets to his whatever that peak level is, whatever that ends up becoming. But I think that he took a step towards it yesterday, and hopefully he'll take another one next week and so forth.
What was your thought about the 1-for-12 third down conversion rate that you guys had? How do you explain that?
We didn't do a good enough job in that situation, period. You know, missed a couple third and ones, missed some third and mediums, and then we had whatever it was, 5 or 6 third and 10 pluses, which we all know those are hard to convert, but you know, you'd like to be able to pick up some percentage of them. So that wasn't a good day on third down on the offensive or the defensive side of the ball. And that was definitely a problem.
To the untrained eye, it appears as if Brady has had some inaccuracies throwing the ball that certainly I'm not accustomed to seeing with him. Is there something that might be leading to some inaccuracy, or where would that stem from?
I think, as I said, I think it's the execution level by everybody. You know, protections, throwing, route running, catching, you know, coaching. You know, some of the plays that we had weren't probably great plays for, you know, what they were in those situations. Some of them were okay, but we didn't execute them well for one reason or another. So I think there's a little bit of blame to be shared by everyone. I don't think it's any one thing, one person, one, but collectively, I think all of us can and need to do better.
We haven't talked with you since Gerard Mayo was lost for the season. We all know his skill level, all the things he brings to the table. And one of the things is, you know, he's got the green dot on his helmet, communicating with the sideline. What is the level of complexity of that job, and how did Hightower handle it yesterday?
I thought High did a good job. I didn't think that was a major issue in the game. You know, again, there are always a couple little things that will come up and did come up, you know, that we'll work through and iron out, but it wasn't anything major, you know, where we had to, you know, waste timeouts to get the defense called or that type of thing. But the complexity of it, it varies from game to game. And, you know, when you call a defense, you don't know what the offense is going to come out in. They come out in, you know, a conventional formation, or it could be something that's a little bit out of the ordinary, or it could be something that's, you know, you haven't prepared for, that they've just drawn up that week and it's unexpected. So the difficulty levels can vary on that. The Jets, you know, had a lot of different personnel groups, especially early in the game, a lot of different formations and, you know, as part of their script, which we were expecting, but that's, you know, that's what we got. So I thought, you know, overall that High handled it pretty well. But, you know, again, there's always room for improvement, and I'm sure as he does it more, he'll get more familiar and comfortable with everything. But it's, you know, some direction that has to be given there from the signal caller to the his teammates at linebacker, but also to the defensive line and working in conjunction with the secondary. So it's on different levels depending on what the situation is. Could be a coverage thing, could be a stunt thing, could be a formation adjustment. It could be, you know, can involve any of those areas.
Did he do that at Alabama?
Yes, he did.
Now, I know Patriots fans for many years have heard you talk about the roster, the importance of having, you know, 53 guys that are reliable and that can help you win a game. But you know, look at losing Wilfork for the season, a captain, and you look at losing Mayo for the season, a captain as well, very, you know, right up the middle. Is it unrealistic to say, all right, guys, step up? Or are you looking to, I mean, the, you know, trading deadline is about a week away. Do you have to rethink what you're doing when you lose two of those guys at this point in the season?
Well, I think when you put together your roster at the beginning of the year, in preseason, and then as you get into training camp and go in the final 53, you've got to have depth everywhere. I mean, it's unrealistic to think that everybody's going to, you know, be healthy every game, every week, all year long. It'd be great, but that's just not reality in the NFL. So you've got to be able to adjust to it, and so that's what we'll do. Whatever happens, we have to be able to, you know, deal with that hand that we have dealt. So we'll do the best we can with the preparations, but when it happens, then we have to just figure out a way to make it work. So that's what we'll do.
All right, Bills, now it's time for the Coach's Question of the Week. It's brought to you by your local Mercedes-Benz dealers. The all-new Mercedes-Benz CLA has arrived. I think that should be class.
No, it's CLA.
Is it CLA?
Oh, yeah, I heard all about it over the weekend.
Oh, you're a Mercedes-Benz
I heard a lot about the CLA.
That's above my pay grade.
I'll tell you
so
later.
I'm going to say...
It's an entry-level car.
Still above my pay grade. Mercedes-Benz CLA has arrived. See them on the web at mbusa.com. This week's question is from John in Boston. I think he's probably trying to bust me here. He wants to ask the coach the best conference. What do you think the best conference is in college football? I love the Big Ten, so maybe that's what he's talking about.
Well, there's, you know, I don't really follow college football that much during the season, to be honest. I mean, I'll catch a game here and there, but most of the college football that I watch is after the season, and I watch a lot of it then. But then that's based on where the players that are expected to be drafted are, so that could vary quite a bit. But you know, certainly the SEC, the ACC, the Big Ten, the Pac-10, 12, whatever it is, the whatever the Big Eight is now. I mean, there's a lot of great conferences in college football, and they're great players in all the schools, even some of the lower division schools. So, you know, I really enjoy all of it when I get a chance to see it. You know, the spirit and the rivalries. It's a different game than the NFL, but a very exciting game, and it's still football. So I enjoy it.
Big Eight, I like it. When was it the Big Eight?
The Big Eight.
Was the Big 12.
Then
right?
The Big 12.
Yeah. So it's like the 80s.
Right, yeah,
I think
somewhere.
It's been since the 80s that it was the Big Eight. I like it. Old school.
SEC, they think they're the best.
That's for sure.
They're
all right.
Absolutely.
Coach, we appreciate it.